Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed Bondarik.
Co-hosting, not hosting this
co-hosting,
week.
Co-hosting, that's right. My indubitable, is that the right word? I don't even know.
I don't
I'm just
know.
Making, I'm yeah. making things up.
Impeccable
right?
was last impeccable. Week. Then I found out what impeccable means. It means without sin.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I found
that out
slightly
by
different.
Accident.
Well, there
yeah.
you go. I better get my dictionary back out. Well, it's good to be back. Thank you for taking care of the things
good to have
over
you
the
back.
Last 2 weeks.
The pressure was just getting too much.
Was it?
Yeah.
The pressure was off me, man. I had a good 2 weeks off. I was traveling. Well, actually, last week I was supposed to travel on Sunday, which I did. Big 13-hour drive, right? But Saturday I had to get the boat in the water and get a million things done before I could. So thank you for – I know I kind of last-minute okay. you, right? Yeah, but it was all right. And then a week before, I saw my friend Barbie, and she showed me a good time down in Maryland, so it was very nice. So I shout out to her for showing me a good time in Ocean City, Maryland. Great place. Great seafood, too. So it was awesome.
Excellent.
So a couple weeks off. Nice. I might have to do it more often.
Mm.
It's nice not coming in and doing a Saturday show. Mm. You know, a little time off.
It's your audience, man. Think of your audience.
I know. I know. I felt a little guilty. Like, I wanted to even call in, but I'm like, you know what? I'm not.
You're going to stick us with Ed again? What? What?
I'm out. I'm out.
No, you're going to hear that music, that Pavlovian music that I said, you know, when you hear that, you know, a good show's coming up. They're not going to associate with a good show if you keep taking off.
If you keep. Well, what we do every Saturday on The Drift is go over the news that we put on the dailydrift.com. It's
the news you need to know.
Yeah, thank you very much. And that's what we do every week. So I put the time and effort in, folks. Go to the dailydrift.com, please. If you're out there listening right now, just Google it. Thedailydrift.com.
Yeah,
put it in your search bar. Okay, so got a lot of stuff to talk about, but let us mention, I think it's Kentucky Derby Day, 144th
That's
running.
What I heard, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it seems odd. And then
Who's
I was
favored?
Talking. I have no idea.
Derek?
Derek. Who's favored to win the Kentucky Derby today? Derek will look that up. But it's also Cinco de Mayo, and I was telling Pastor Rick, I don't know if it's me or what. I watch a lot of television, right?
Mm-hmm.
And most years, Cinco de Mayo comes around with a lot of fanfare. Tequila, beer, Mexican food, the whole nine yards. I haven't seen hardly any this year. Is it me, or have you seen it?
No, but I don't pay attention to that. So.
Okay, well, I like to party. I like a margarita. I drink Corona beer. You know, I'm culturally appropriating the Corona and the tequila, right?
Yeah,
isn't that what assimilation's all about?
Well, you know, about 3 years ago, I was doing some front yard work. I was trimming hedges, mowing the lawn, and I was listening to you and Brandon going back and forth. You know, and that's when it struck me that I consider myself Mexican now. I self-identify as Hispanic. I like doing landscaping around the yard. That, you know, I realize that's cultural approbation, but then I have relatives named Rodriguez. So I thought of all the benefits I could get if I just self-identify as Mexican now. And so I'm celebrating Cinco de Mayo, man.
Dude,
Mayo, Mayo. How do am I supposed to pronounce that?
If you adjusted your mustache a little bit, you could pass for an older Hispanic gentleman.
See, the most
See.
Interesting
culture. You know what? Well, with a middle name like me, Miles,
right? There you go.
It's Miles. But yes, I mean, allegedly, when I do the background, the family thing, supposedly there's some Hispanic way back on one side of our family. I don't know. I'm not, until I do the 23andMe, I'm not believing it, right? Which I'm not doing.
What don't you want to know?
I don't want anyone to know, because I think those 23 companies, I think they
sell the stuff, too.
Sell that information, just like Facebook, right? And then they're going to know all about me and my history and genetic history.
You're
and the next thing you know, my insurance is going up.
Yep, right. Selling you meds. You know, people with your background should be taking,
Yeah, all right, well, there you go. Well, thanks for tuning in. If you want to call into the show, 734-822-1600, or you can email me, gary@thedailydrift.com, and email your comments in, and we can read them on the air. And Joe from Wyandotte is reading my mind again. So let's take a call from Joe. Joe, welcome to the show.
Oh, good. I'm glad I was reading your mind again.
Scary in there,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's a shame you missed last week because we had a bit of the tinfoil hat conspiracy stuff going on.
What? What did I miss? What was last week?
But, yeah, I don't celebrate Cinco de Mayo. I celebrate Cinco as in S-I-N-K-O de Prep One Day. Remember, this is the anniversary of the defeat of Prop 1.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's not what I was calling about, but since you brought up Cinco de Mayo, yeah, I always celebrate Cinco de Prop 1 Day.
Right. I prefer Cuatro de Julio.
And we need to celebrate this anniversary every year by calling our legislators and telling them we will not forget that they passed that crap on us anyway.
Right, right.
We will hold them accountable. But, yeah, I was calling for an article on the Daily Drift.
The claims of rising poverty simply aren't true. And I wanted to start with this.
Absolutely.
I wanted to start with this because, you know what, folks? It is election year, right? 2018 will be here. November will be here. November is coming, right? Remember mm-hmm. the shirts? I still got mine. November is coming, and this is the chance we have as Michiganders to get rid of Debbie Stabenow. So I don't care if you're supporting John James or Sandy Pensler or Bob Carr. Support them. Talk about them. We'll see who comes out in the primary. We must get rid of Debbie Stabenow, period.
Hey, Joe, what do you know about Bob Carr's lawsuit? Is he following up yet?
I don't know any further information about
I haven't seen
that.
Anything.
And yeah, for Gary, that's part of the conspiracy going around.
Well, if he doesn't move fast, Plurt's going to slide quick.
Hold on, I'm lost.
You didn't listen to last week's show, did you?
I did not. Bring me to speed.
Bob Carr did not turn in his petitions on time.
What?
The previous week, I'd asked Joe, why hasn't he turned in his petitions? And Joe said, well, he's going to turn them at the last minute for publicity reasons. Well, it seems like these guys depend on petition collection firms, all right? And it looks like his petitions did not get turned in by the petition collection firm.
Oh, no.
On time. And
really?
He thinks he got sandbagged and that it's part of a conspiracy, and he refuses to say anything about it except he's going to overturn it in court. It's affected a number of candidates. It's not just him, but it's Bob Carr. So that's going to be overturned. Anything else on that, Joe? Did I miss something?
No. Then the other aspect of that was the supposed potential Sandy Pensler Brian Kelly.
But you wanted to keep those two things separate when you called in last week, and I didn't.
Yeah.
But I think they are connected.
Yeah, Bob Carr seems to think Sandy Pensler may be behind. He didn't say this outright, but that's kind of the gist I get in the Yob group somehow involved in all of this.
Yeah. But Pensler and Kelly petitions, which are one's federal and one's state, got mixed together. So it violates some FEC rules. The Yob organization kind of screwed that up. But whether they were involved with Carr's deal or not, Carr's not saying.
We don't know, that's not our conspiracy. That is I can't remember the guy's name who filed the FEC official complaint against the Pensler campaign for potential campaign finance law violation due to the petition thing, whether or not he paid for it, or if all the money came out of Callie's campaign, would be the potential conspiracy there. But
I leave John James standing.
The rising poverty thing, because Coleman Young II, Lord knows what he'll be running for next in an op-ed with the Travis
Joe, here's the reason I wanted to bring this up. These are the lies that the left put out. This is what the Democrats do. They're lying. And Senator Coleman Young II, out of Detroit, is claimed in April in an op-ed in the Traverse City Record Eagle that more people in Michigan have fallen into poverty during the tenure of Governor Rick Snyder. That is a lie. That is a lie, Mr. Young. You should be ashamed of yourself. You are a liar. Because right there, Michigan Capital Confidential, for the record, Michigan's poverty rate was 17.5% in 2011, the year Snyder took office. The poverty was 13.2% in 2005 when Jennifer Granholm was in office, right?
Right. It went way up under the lost decade of Granholm.
Yes.
It's back down to 15%. as of 2016, the last year of record. Now, while that number is not something to jump up and down and scream about, it is evidence that we need to move further right with a Patrick Kolbeck and not a return lurch leftward to a Granholm-style Al Sayed, Sri Tanada, or Gretchen Whitmer.
Yeah, or Kelly. And I think that's the point I'm trying to make. You know what, folks? Don't buy the Gretchen Whitmer thing. Oh, we've had 8 years of Rhino Rick. It's time to go Democrat again. Don't do it.
We've been
Don't
Democrat.
Make that mistake.
I thought Snyder was Granholm. Did something change?
Look, Rhino Rick, you can say whatever you want about him. He was better than Granholm, period.
Yeah, but, I'm no major
but
fan
I think
Rick.
Callie and definitely Schuette are not the guys we need. We need Patrick Kolbeck. That's where I'm putting my effort. I'm hoping.
Absolutely.
I'm praying for Patrick. And if we can go with a real solid Republican who has solutions, folks, look at Patrick Kolbeck's website. He's got solutions. The other guys don't. It's just more the same old elitist Republican garbage. Don't buy it. Look at Patrick Kolbeck. Do your homework and vote for him and support him and campaign for him. Trust me on this.
Yeah. Right.
Okay?
We need more pro-growth right-wing policies to get more people jobs and or opportunities at better jobs to lower that poverty rate, not more government structured handouts.
Yes, exactly. All right, Joe. Well, great call. I appreciate it, man.
All right, take care, guys.
All right,
see you,
take
Joe.
Care. All right. So, and one other thing on before we move on, we already wasted way more time than I wanted to on this.
Mm-hmm. Joe does that.
Well,
the Joe
so
show.
So there's a lawsuit that Sri Tanadar, the super progressive Democrat candidate, has allegedly brought against. I don't know if it was a Secretary of State or whatever. They've left Abdul Isa, whatever his name is, the other Democrat. He's registered in New York and hasn't spent the appropriate amount of time as a Michigan elector.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
And so I think he's fighting for that far left, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to get Syed out so he can garner those votes, which would put him in a position to maybe beat Gretchen Whitmer, right? If he's pulling all the far left, because Gretchen Whitmer is going to play up as a moderate Democrat, even though she's as left as they come too.
Yeah, but after his kerfuffle with the animals, you know, like we talked about on last week's show.
Did you just use the word kerfuffle?
Kerfuffle, yes.
Kerfuffle.
Yes.
I like that word.
Thank you.
It's pretty.
I heard it as a kid.
When
the dinosaurs were chasing us, somebody said, Dad, I think it was Dad said, what a kerfuffle.
Let's take a quick call from Ken who wants to mention something about Cinco de Mayo. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, since Cinco de Mayo is a holiday that I do not celebrate or recognize, I thought I'd share a couple little aspects of it. Recently, I was listening to another radio station, and they were talking with a head honcho from Corona Beer, and they were discussing the origin of what we have here in America called Cinco de Mayo. First of all, it's not recognized as a holiday in Mexico. Never has been. He talked about how Corona Beer created the holiday in order to promote the sale of Mexican food and beer.
Yeah, it's like the biggest guacamole use.
I heard it was Dos Equis, but I guess I'm wrong.
What?
Dos Equis created it, but yeah.
Either way. Yeah. But you know what, Ken? Here's what I like. When we talk about cultural appropriation, right? Celebrating Mexican culture of their food, which I love. If I had to pick one food, it might be Mexican food. And I like tequila. I'm sorry. I love tequila.
That's cultural appropriation, man.
And I like Mexican beers. I don't know that I like them any better than the craft beers we have in Michigan. But you know what's nice about that particular holiday, even though there's like no real holiday, it's a manufactured one, it increases business, it gets sales up, it gets taxes up. So it's one of those good things, and we're taking one of the better parts, I think, of that culture, their food, their festivity, whatever.
And eventually the feds will get
thing,
it off.
Right?
Eventually the feds will have that day off, too. today off.
Well, one aspect of the holiday that doesn't get talked up much is they said that holiday, they came up with a small little battle where the Spanish beat a group of French soldiers. And one thing that I like to point out is now I happen to be partially French, and one statement that I've made to a bunch of Mexicans, and I've also made this to a lot of Mexicans from time to time, is Mexico, where with Cinco de Mayo they celebrate here the defeat of the French by the small army of Spanish soldiers, Mexico today would have been better off if the French kicked their butt and if France had defeated the Spanish in Mexico. I mean, look at Montreal.
That could be one of those alternate universe Netflix shows, Ken. Maybe we should look into that. You know, they like doing that alternate universe thing. Well, as always, Ken, great call, man. I love that historical perspective you can put on things. You've always got some really interesting stuff.
It's a offensive. Again, speaking as someone that has some French heritage, Cinco de Mayo is a racist. offensive holiday.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you're laughing at it because you know that's just snowflake city. All right, Ken, great call as always, man. Loved it. Love hearing from you. Take care.
Take care.
That's a racist holiday. Yes, it's a La Raza holiday, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I forgot to do
this.
It's
like that girl wearing that Chinese dress. You know what I mean?
Yes. And you know, I'm glad you brought that up because a pretty young lady, she's using an Oriental dress, a Chinese dress, and it was beautiful. It was
her unique appearance.
It was different. Yeah. It was awesome. And for any douchebag to try and say she's culturally, well, that's the whole point. She's taken the best part of Chinese culture, or some of the best part, which is her beautiful dress.
That'd be sweet and sour chicken.
Well, I like sweet and sour chicken too, but
which I don't think is
baby.
Chinese.
Whatever, you're assimilating, right? We're bringing in the best of societies and their cultures and bringing them into this country. And how dare anybody abuse that poor girl for picking an Oriental design dress. Smart on her. It was beautiful. And that young lady, I can't remember, Kazira or whatever. She had a strange name, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a beautiful young lady in a beautiful dress, and how dare some leftist intolerant piece of garbage say something bad about her. That makes me sick to my stomach.
And yet none of them will stand against marketing with Cinco de Mayo. Right?
Exactly. No, that cultural appropriation. Yeah. Snowflakes go home. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Okay, well, let me take care of a little business here. You rushed me through the beginning of the show. Right?
No, I was pointing at it furiously. You were ignoring me as usual.
Okay, so if you need something to do, Rolling Meadows Rustic Events can be held at the Sutton Bar at Rolling Meadows Golf Course. And this is a great place. Is it a par three? I can't remember.
Well, the golf course itself, but this is where you want to hold your graduation parties, your wedding events, your business lunches. This is a venue.
So I think it's the Ionis bought this place, turned it around, and it's a great story. We'll get Susan to call in one of these days and tell us the story of how they got into it. But they've put a lot of money into this place. They've upgraded the bar. If you go to the bar, you're up north. I like to go out and socialize, right? They've got a great bar. You'll walk in. You'll swear you're up north somewhere. And, I mean, it really looks
It's rustic.
Nice. It's rustic. It's beautiful. And then they've got, like, the stone cellar patio downstairs from the bar that you can hang out, and that's beautiful. And then there's a pavilion park. And it's a great little golf course, too. So you can golf, and it's not expensive. You can get a cart.
Have your next business event there.
Doing a corporate event, golf outings, anniversary parties, you name it, they've got it. So this place is really cool. So they've got the Sutton Barn, the stone cellar patio, a pavilion park, you name it, they got it. Weddings, anniversaries, parties, whatever. Get out there and see them. 734-662-5144. That's 734-662-5144. You can go to suttonbarn.com if you want to book an event, or rmgolfcourse.com if you're interested in golfing. And they're located right on Sutton Road in Whitmore Lake, which is Northfield Township.
Check out the ad in the Current.
Check out the ad in the Current. COURANT online.com. All right. So we got through that. Okay. One other thing here, since we're talking Cinco de Mayo, Hispanic unemployment and African-American unemployment.
Did I mention I'm Hispanic?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
I'm not buying it, but yes. New records again, right? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to
– finally, Obama administration policies are finally paying off after 9 years.
Please. Please. Mr. Obama ruined this country, including employment for Hispanics and blacks. And finally, the mainstream media is beginning to take notice. And one of the biggest critics of Donald Trump has always been Donnie Deutsch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who I think is a Deutsch bag, but that's on me.
That's good.
You like that?
Yeah,
nice. I came right off the top of my head. Derek, you got track one ready? This is from MSNBC of all places.
Oh, MSLGBT.
Right? MSLGBT.
LSD,
you got that track ready? Let's go ahead and play it and listen to what Donnie Deutsch has to say about the 2020 election.
3.9 jobs. If he does the North Korea thing, ISIS, this man, unless there's some real serious stuff in these indictments, is going to get reelected on the last
So, time. Steve, 3.9, below 4% unemployment for the first time since the year 2000, 18 years, a little under 18 years. I know that's not the be-all, end-all number, but it's a pretty darn good number.
Yeah, I think Donnie's right. It's a good number, and I think Sarah's right that all the three kind of key numbers, which are the unemployment rate, the number of jobs added, and the wage numbers, are all in a kind of sweet spot at the moment. Wages are not growing that fast, which is obviously not great news on one level, but on another level, it keeps the keeps inflation from coming back, and it keeps the Fed from raising interest rates faster.
So things are getting better, and even MSNBC.
How tortured was his face when he said that?
Oh,
they were listening.
You can go to thedailydrift.com and see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on there. There's a link to that website, so you can check it out there. But record employment, right, for blacks and Hispanics. And when Donnie Deutsch, it must have just killed him to say this, right? Things are happening. Though he put his little codicil on, we got to see what's in these indictments.
Yeah, well,
Mr. Deutsch, the indictments have been nothing related to Trump at this point. It's all garbage.
Like Judge Ellis said.
Like Judge Ellis said, and we're going to get into that right now. So the feds, the DOJ, trying to pursue this Mueller activity and dig into the Trumps and look at everything. The judge finally said what?
Oh, what happened was the Mueller team wanted to take Manafort to court because in trying to find stuff about Trump, they found some stuff about Manafort who was associated with Trump. And so they were trying to turn him against Trump. So they're taking him to court on stuff that's not Trump related and about some dealings that he had with the Russians, finances, foreign agent stuff that
Ukrainians actually too.
Pardon
actually, me? Wasn't it Ukrainians, not really
yes,
Russians?
Yes, yeah.
Which is not even Russian collusion, right?
Yes,
if we're
exactly.
talking Ukrainians.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but half of Ukraine is controlled by the Russians now.
Okay. Touche.
Yeah. So anyways, you know, they're trying to nail Manafort, you know, as a stab at Trump. And like I was telling Sherry the other day that, in fact, it was just yesterday afternoon, this is not an attack on criminal charges. This is to cost the Republicans votes in that next election that Donnie Deutsch was talking about, right?
Yes.
This is trying to take support away from Trump in the media.
Yeah.
And then Judge Ellis comes out and says the exact same thing. Great minds think alike.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then of all things, Tucker Carlson said the same thing last night.
Yeah.
This is all an attack on Trump. The judge said, you know, he's probably going to throw this case out because it was brought on the wrong pretenses. It was brought on stuff that was not germane to the Mueller investigation.
Right. And imagine, America, you have to look at it this way, right? This is not just an attack on President Trump. This is an attack on each and every one of us because they're
trying to
trying to undo our choice for president. Our choice was fair and balanced. It was a fair election. Donald Trump won because 63 million Americans said we want him.
Even Hillary admits she lost repeatedly. She admits she lost repeatedly.
And so these people, if they can do this to the president of the United States, what are they going to do to you and me or anyone else? Because we don't have the power, the money, or anything else to fight like Donald Trump does. If they can succeed in doing this to the president, it's over. Because then they can throw any one of us in jail for anything they want, manufacture whatever evidence they want, dig through everything they've got, and go after your attorneys and look for anything that you've talked to your attorneys about.
Yeah.
This is a wholesale attack on the American public. And people need to realize this, whether you like Donald Trump or not. Because you know what? If they succeed in this, they can succeed on the next time around, and it may be you or your candidate, a Democrat candidate. We must stop this nonsense now. And this Mueller crap has got to end because this open-ended, go-anywhere-I-want investigation is nonsense. This is un-American. And frankly, Mr. Mueller and anybody in the DOJ or the FBI that is related to this, they should be facing charges, be tried, and go to prison for it.
Yeah.
And I want them to go to prison. I want them to spend whatever months or years are necessary to make sure that people make an example of them. This should not happen in America. This is third world garbage that Obama brought into our country. And here it is. a year and a half after our president's been elected, we still have this garbage going on.
Ellis has given Trump an excuse to get rid of Mueller now, and he ought to do it now.
I hope he does. All right, well, that's the end of the break. I think we've got Tim Walberg coming up. He is calling up at the beginning of the hour, so hopefully we'll see you on the other side.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Faron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. President Trump being tight-lipped with reporters over comments made by Rudy Giuliani regarding alleged hush money paid to porn star Stormy Daniels.
Rudy is a great guy, but he just started a day ago. He's learning the subject matter.
Why did you change your story on Stormy Daniels?
We're not changing any stories.
The president's now in Cleveland for a business roundtable. Soggy conditions at Churchill Downs setting the stage for a muddy Kentucky Derby.
Trainer Bob Baffert enters today's Kentucky Derby in quest for his fifth win in the run for the Roses and his second in 4 years. He has two chances in Solomini out of the 17 post and the heavy favorite Justify out of the 7. Both Justify and Magnum Moon in the 16 post could become the first horses to forego racing at 2 years old and win the Derby since 1882. There's also another favorite in Mendelssohn in the 14 gate trying to become the first European-born thoroughbred to win the first leg of the Triple Crown.
Fox is Matt Napolitano, Fox News. We report, you decide.
Many of our troops fought for our country and are struggling from the effects of invisible wounds, such as post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injuries. Camp Liberty's all-volunteer nonprofit program utilizes inclusive outdoor recreation activities to help these heroes reintegrate back into their family and their community. Camp Liberty provides a setting for veterans and their families to heal together in the great Michigan outdoors. You can help Camp Liberty help our Michigan heroes by visiting their website at camp-liberty.org.
Set your dial for Eddie's Caravan, a doo-wop extravaganza for all you guys and dolls, and some hepcat jive for all you beatniks. I'm Fast Eddie Krasny, inviting you to join me for a cruise back in time through the streets of Ann Arbor, circa 1962. I know the way because I live there.
Don't miss Eddie's Caravan with Fast Eddie, Saturday evenings at 6 on Wham!
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All WellBridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Chris Tangeman from Howell.
I had back surgery. I had to go there for like 3 or 4 weeks, and let me tell you, they were just superb. I'm in this industry. I'm an LPN, and I mean, they're just excellent. The aides, the nurses, everybody. I thought especially that their therapy department was just phenomenal, and I would absolutely recommend WellBridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge in Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, WellBridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift in the studio with Ipsy Ed Bondarenka.
Hey there.
And myself, Gary Wellings. Good to be here.
Yeah. Good to have you back.
Thank you for filling in for me. It was awesome. So let's take care of a little business. Mother's Day brunch is coming up. Mother's Day is here. Go to Burroughs Roadhouse.
Right?
Take mom or your mother of your children, whatever. Take them to Burroughs Roadhouse, 810-227-6000. That's 810-227-6000. And definitely call and make a reservation because they get very busy. But they've got a great buffet. But they also do good drinks, good dinners, you name it, do it. Patio season starts May 24th. It's coming up quick. And that's live music on the patio every Thursday through Saturday at 6 p.m. So it's a really fun place to go to. Great drinks, great people, good atmosphere. And they have an actual real brick oven pizza, which is good. The pizza is really great.
When you call and make reservations, mention the Drift Radio Show for really good seats.
Yeah. Absolutely. Jim will help out.
Yep. Yeah.
Jim loves us and
all good seats,
advertises with us. And you can get the coupons right at thecurrentonline.com, CourantOnline.com. 15% off Sunday brunch and $15 off any four dinner entree. So if you're doing a foursome up at the restaurant, yeah, it's a good place to go. So check them out, 810-227-6000 or burrows-roadhouse.com. Okay, so we've got 7th District Congressman Tim Walberg on the line. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon to you.
Good to see you again, man. What's going on?
Well, you know, we've been home for a week back in the district for our every fourth week we do a in-district work period, and so finished up 5 of 6 town halls this week, and a lot of manufacturing site visits, spoken schools, small businesses, Kiwanis Rotary Clubs. So Monday when I do my last town hall and jump on the plane to head back to Washington, I can rest up a bit.
It's funny, you got to rest to go back to the swamp, right? That's crazy. So, Tim, give us a quick update. So you're getting across the state more than any of us. What are you hearing from the average voter out there? Are they happy with the way things are going?
Well, it's mixed. When you talk to them directly about why they, for instance, would say, and we'd like to see something done, you say, what is that? Well, We want to see things getting to the president for signing. And when you dig deeper and say, well, do you appreciate the tax cuts? So it's, oh, yeah, that was great. Well, what about the regulatory reform? Have you heard any good things about that? Well, so we read that businesses are really appreciating those 15 Congressional Review Acts that you passed and the president signed, and it's really helping and causing a lot of optimism in business. And unemployment rate is lowest in about 30 years, and you start talking about the things that have been accomplished, Dodd-Frank repeal. All of a sudden, people feel better, but they say, "Well, we just like to see you get along more." And I say, "Well, that's great. You know, I have still the most conservative lifetime rating of any member of the Michigan delegation at 92%, as judged by the American Conservative Union, but I also, by the Lugar Center, was regarded in their study to be one of the most bipartisan workers in Congress, in the top third and number four out of all of the Republican and Democrat members of the Michigan delegation, beyond every single Democrat who talks about working bipartisan, and yet they don't.
Yeah. How many people, Tim, do you ever mention, well, we need a Republican senator?
That's what I always helpful, going to say. Right? I bet you end up apologizing for the Senate quite a bit when you explain things, right?
Oh, man, we sure do. When we get right down and say, folks, remember what Trump said last week when he spoke in Washington Township? He said, we need a new senator here, but folks, it's your fault. You're the one that sent Debbie Stabenow out there. You know, he's right. I've said that often. I said, doggone it. We complain a lot, but we don't get it done in getting.
Hey, I didn't do it.
Republican
do it?
Senator.
So. Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. We keep putting, and I'm going to put the blame squarely on many of our Republican farmers out there who keep voting Debbie because she sits on the Ag Committee, right? Listen, Republican farmers, stop doing that because you're hurting the rest of us.
And everything else she votes on does bad things to the farmers. And you stop and think of the family values. You stop and think about the tax issues, the spending issues. She's not helping the family farmers. So I'm hoping that Farm Bureau will be receiving information from local farmers saying, let's forget about what we normally do. Let's do the right thing. And I think then we'll get a better farm bill. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up. The farm bill in the House passed out of the House last week, out of the House Committee, Agriculture Committee. It's a good farm bill. It continues some of the progress we've made in doing away with direct payments and putting the burden on crop insurance, which has been working very well. We backstop that, but the farmers pay into it and prepare for themselves. But what we did this year was put a work requirement for people who are on SNAP assistance, that's food stamp assistance, in order to get your food stamps. If you aren't disabled or elderly or have a young child at home, but you're work capable, that's about 35% of the recipients who get SNAP food stamps right now. Those 35% will have to work at least 20 hours a week or be going to a state-certified training program leading to a job. The Democrats refused to support that, even though they're supportive of all of the rest of the bill. They would not support that. So it had to come out of the House Agriculture Committee for the first time in an awful long time in a total bipartisan or a partisan vote. I can get my dentures to work right here, I guess. So it's on the floor right now, and we hope to send it over to the Senate. The Senate's Republican leadership says that they want the bill. They want to have something to work on to send back to us and then ultimately go to a conference committee. But doggone it, 80% of the people, Democrats or Republicans across this state, across this country, say there ought to be a work requirement to receive food stamps. And in fact, about the same to receive welfare. Unless you're disabled or elderly or have young children that keep you from going out, you ought to be doing something to supplement, at the very least, the welfare assistance that you get or the food stamps that you
Didn't we do that under Gingrich? Did it just fade away?
Yeah, we did that under Gingrich. We did it after the Michigan House and Senate passed it and Governor Engler signed it.
That
was back
him.
In 94. We set the tone for the rest of the nation. They took our plan and ultimately passed it after, on the third attempt, they got Clinton to sign it. It stayed in law until Barack Obama took office. And then he rescinded rules. And Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid helped him to do that. And so we're back to the same old problem again, that we're giving out welfare assistance. And remember, those aren't entitlements. Those are gifts that come from the taxpayer to help have a social safety net that is supposed to deal with people who are down in their luck for a short period of time or who are disabled and incapable of working. We provide that. But when you are capable of working, you ought to be working toward independence again. And one of the best ways, we think, is to kind of wean you from the welfare system, the food stamps, et cetera. And as you move that direction, you're more capable of taking care of yourself. You get more money that you've earned yourself and less need for social assistance, and that can be left for people who genuinely have the need and can't do it for themselves.
Right, because it's supposed to be a safety net. You know, we should all have skin in the game. We should all be contributing something, for crying out loud, a little bit. So I think you're right there. Let me ask you this, Tim. How are we doing on the wall? Are we moving forward? Is there money there? Are appropriations there? Can we actually get this wall, maybe not finished, but a good start on it?
We got all the money needed for building 90 miles of wall this year. The president asked for 75. We gave him 90 miles of wall, so to speak, wall where necessary, fence, electronic surveillance, whatever works best at the appropriate place on the border. Securing the border is what we want to happen. So, we gave him the funding to do that. That's pretty much all that could possibly be built in 1 year. And hopefully we'll get some help in the election this next year, and we can have a Senate that would be willing to pass a budget like we sent over to them on September 14th that still sits there with a filibuster on it and never was brought up. And that's why, as we discussed the last time, the omnibus came across.
Right. And rough estimate, Tim, how many bills have you sent that are sitting in the Senate that they will not work on because they refuse to go to 51 votes?
Last I saw, there's something like 489 bills that still reside in the Senate that we passed, most of them in a bipartisan fashion, sent to the Senate that they will not take up. There's, I think, right under 600 bills that we've passed to the Senate, and that's all they've taken up, leaving 489 of those 600-something.
Right. So, folks, there you go. When we're talking Michigan election in 2018, Debbie Stabenow is part of the reason why the Senate passes nothing. Nothing. You can have the House do all the work they want, but if they don't pass it in the Senate, we're still screwed. It can't make it to the president's desk. So we must get rid of Debbie Stabenow this time around. Please, folks, get out in November and do not vote Democratic. Vote Republican for Senate. Try something different for a change.
Yeah.
And then I guess I'd add one other thing, and it hurts me to say this, but anybody that would like to have friends and neighbors in Kentucky, family members that live in Kentucky, and in fact anybody around this great nation, if you want to start writing letters to Mitch McConnell and say, Mitch, you're getting no help at all from Chuck Schumer and the Democrats. It's time to do some type of nuclear option or change your doggone rules so that you can have a filibuster for the length of time that we're talking about where you stop 489 bills from even having a hearing or a debate on the floor of the Senate. So, you know, I hold Chuck Schumer and the Democrats entirely responsible, but I also hold Mitch McConnell responsible for not showing the leadership and ultimately saying nuts with this. We are not going to let the constitutional responsibilities that we've been given to carry out, at the very least, a budget to move forward. We're not going to have it stopped. And so we're going to change rules or else we're going to go nuclear until we get something done. The American people expect that of us.
Well, Representative Tim Walberg, you know, what you were talking about was going back to the historic type of filibuster where you actually have to put some skin in the game and stand up there and read the Cat in the Hat for 12 hours and not just say, I might do that. Okay, that counts. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. If we do want to go to filibuster, when we started out our Congress, the Senate didn't filibuster.
Well, I realize that. We were a 51 vote.
Yeah.
And it's rules.
Well, it's just,
we don't have to have that. But if you want to go to, they're talking now, some of the senators, James Lankford and others, good guy, is talking about a two-speech rule that every senator can have two speeches, but once they finish their two speeches, all of the ones that finish the two speeches, then you go to a vote.
Right. That becomes the deliberative body then instead of just the
obstructionist
yeah. body. Yeah.
Yeah. It absolutely just drives me insane that you guys in the House are doing your job, you're passing bills. Whether you like them or not, they're getting done, and we send them over to the Senate, and we get nothing. Nothing, stonewall, obstruction, nothing's happening. And sometimes it's just the easiest of bills that should be passed, and yet because they're so partisan over there, nothing happens. And people are right. Get on Twitter, get on Facebook, email, make those phone calls to the Senate Majority Leader's office and tell them, just hashtag it, use 51 votes. Just say that repeatedly, get it out there, because the pressure has to be brought on Mitch McConnell.
I agree. That'd be a great help, and then put a few more Republicans in the Senate so we can get that 60 vote, even if Schumer won't work with us.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so Tim, let's turn to the latest. You may have heard us talking about Judge Ellis's talking to the DOJ in the latest court case on Paul Manafort. What's going on with Rosenstein? And we've heard Mark Meadows talk about impeachment of Rosenstein, and Rosenstein's basically thumbing his nose at the Congress and saying, whatever, you're not going to impeach me, and I'm not going to give you the material you're looking for. How long do we have to sit and watch this guy at the FBI and others in the FBI and the DOJ thumb their nose?
Stonewall.
At the people we elected. You guys are the bosses, and yet you cannot get the information. How long before we see somebody sit in jail? I want to see Sergeant-at-Arms or somebody take these guys, lead them out, throw their butt in jail until we get the information that you're asking for.
Well, it takes an impeachment vote, which is a supermajority vote, to accomplish it. So it would be very difficult to make that happen. However, if a person can be held in contempt of Congress with a simple majority vote in the House. You don't have to have a Senate vote on it. You can hold in contempt like we did Eric Holder, and ultimately Eric Holder had to resign. That's something I think is being considered as well. Impeachment is a little higher standard, while I think Rosenstein has done a number of things in arrogance, especially not recusing himself from even becoming the interim attorney general on the issue dealing with Russia and establishing Mueller and his agenda. It's a pretty challenging situation. So when we get back, I'm sure we're going to be talking about it. The Oversight and Government Reforms Committee, on which Mark Meadows sits, Trey Gowdy, Jim Jordan, and others, are moving this forward. We'll just see what type of backup they have and really what's going on. But right now, I think we can at the very least say that what Mueller is doing, and Rosenstein involved with it, what they're doing so far has not laid a glove on this president. It has not shown him to have had any collusion with Russia. In fact, it's done just the opposite. It showed, if anything, that Hillary Clinton and her campaign and Democrats were doing some things in collusion to try to influence elections behind the scenes in a legal way and even using the FISA court. So far, I think that's why President Trump really hasn't pushed in any way, shape, or form to end Mueller's investigation because, frankly, thus far it's working for him. The only bad thing, we just have to keep talking about that.
Yeah. The media is slanting it however they want to slant it, but you're right. All the evidence seems to be building against Hillary and the Democrats than it does anybody else.
Do you think that this Ellis statement gives Trump an out for firing Mueller or even Rosenstein?
Well, you know, I think he could. He has all right.
I mean, politically, though. I know he has the right to do it, but I mean politically.
I don't think it does politically.
Okay.
In fact, I think that's what the Democrats want to happen. They have no agenda that speaks to the needs of the American people. It's all political right now.
I can't see how it damages Trump to get rid of Mueller. I don't get it.
So Tim, Tom from Detroit's got a work program question for you. Can we bring him on, Derek? Let's go. Tom, go ahead and ask your question to Tim.
Yeah. Working for 20 hours, is that just any kind of regular job that they would get paid for, or is that some community service where they have to do it for free and not get paid? And then on the job training, who's going to pay for the job training? Is there going to be, transportation allowances that might, eat into, their already, presumed desperate financial conditions?
Yeah, it's on the workforce training, the jobs training programs, they will be state-authorized programs, and many of those state-authorized programs have funding to assist individuals in getting those workforce training opportunities. However, it won't be all of it won't be that. There will be some opportunities for a person to work an employer who will train them as well. I met with several employers last week who have workforce training programs. They're just trying to get people into them. They have jobs available, but nobody to fill them. And so that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about make-work programs. We're talking about actual 20 hours going out and working at a McDonald's, working at a Walmart, working at a Lowe's or Home Depot or something like that, where they do have part-time jobs, 20 hours or less, that people could work at. We're not putting together a government work program. We want people to be in real live jobs that give them the chance to start building a resume, building a work habit, and ultimately to move from that 20-hour job, hopefully into a full-time job where they are ultimately earning a living wage that makes them independent.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Tom.
I'm clear. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Tom. Bye. Appreciate it. Good call.
Tom, you're safe. We're not throwing you back into the workforce.
Let's take a call. Gary from Hazel Park's got a Mitch McConnell comment for you, Tim. Go ahead, Derek. Bring Gary on.
Hey, good afternoon. I think you guys are whistling Dixie if you think Mitch McConnell, the douchebag, is going to do anything. If he was going to do it, he would have done it already. He's a swamp creature.
We have to get a ruling on that word pretty soon, you know.
We overuse that. Go ahead, Tim. You got a response for?
Well, we can take those positions, but that just kind of throws your hands up in the air and says it's not worth doing anything. I like to think that even if it's a difficult lift, even if would seemingly be well understood conclusion that he's not going to do anything, that doesn't stop us from doing it. The framers and founders of this country said it would not work unless American people remained active and involved. And if you just throw up your hands and say he's a swamp creature, and I'm not going to do anything about it, I'm not going to take any effort, well, we'll get the outcome. But the rest of us are going to have to step up the plate and find a way to do it. I can complain all I want as a member of the House of Representatives. I can make jokes about the fact that, in my case, the Democrats are my opposition, but the Senate's my enemy. But in the end, I got to try whatever I can do to move forward, and I'd like to see our constituents do the same thing, and not simply walk away and say, my hands are up in the air because it won't work anyway. Well, the rest of us have to carry the job.
Yeah. That's why I'd like to see this time-sensitive filibuster. It's a compromise.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have to go to 51 votes if he puts limits on filibusters, brings them back to what they were historically somewhat.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Good call.
Yeah, I respect that attitude, Senator or Congressman, whichever one you are. And I would do the same. I'll fight. And I will I'll get a hold of Senator McConnell myself and tell him to go to 51.
Great. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. All right. So, yeah, Tim, I can see Gary's frustrated, as I am. But that's why we always get on here and say, you know what? The Twitter works. You know, when you get a million people telling Mitch McConnell, go to 51 votes, do something,
then
take
Twitter
some action.
Shuts you down.
You know what I mean? The other thing to say, I'm going to actively campaign against you in the next primary if you don't get off your duff and do something.
Yeah, Paul Ryan and President Trump are frustrated too, and they've made statements in the past number of weeks about that very thing of, doggone it, why cannot the Senate get their act together, change the rules, what's ever necessary? Understand that people are getting tired of not having action take place, and we've done it in the House, and we can go through list upon list of what we've successfully done, good legislation, and it doesn't get through the Senate.
Scalise or McCarthy?
I'm going with McCarthy now because Scalise has endorsed McCarthy as the next one, but what'll end up is that when we get the new members of Congress coming in after the election, hopefully we'll have a majority in the House. Remember, Nancy Pelosi is going to be Speaker of the House. If we don't do the right thing. And I tell my Republicans, it's time now, since the filing deadline is complete for our primaries, there's no chance to change your Republican nominee if he or she has no primary. So now the issue is, how do we get it done so that we don't have Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House? That's who will be Speaker of the House if the Republicans don't stay.
Yeah, and that should be enough to scare everybody. Get out in November and vote Republican. Vote. Tim, before we run too short, give me your website because we want to make sure you get reelected. What's your website?
It's walberg.house.gov. That's my official website, walberg.house.gov. My campaign website is walbergforcongress.com.
Okay. WahlbergForCongress.com. And let's see if we can squeeze one more question from Jimmy in Manchester. He's got an economy question for you, Tim. Want to bring Jimmy on, Derek? Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, how you doing, Jimmy? Congressman? Looking forward to seeing you at the convention later this year. Anyway, my question is, during the 8 years of Obama, we had a lot of quantitative easing that basically went to Wall Street. Now that money is starting to trickle into the economy because of the things that Trump has done by opening up coal production, manufacturing, saying you have to use U.S. steel for infrastructure projects and things like that. Are you concerned that this bubble might get out of control and he might not be able to contain that?
we're running out of time. Go ahead, Tim. You got the last call.
No, I like the way the economy's going right now. I'd like to get to a point where I worry about it going out of control. No, it's going well, and you brought up that term, quantitative easing. We haven't heard that this entire term so far. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, Tim, thank you so much for calling in. As always, love hearing from you, and if something special comes up, get hold of us.
Justify is my pick at the Kentucky Derby today.
Yeah, that's what Derek sent to me, too. All right, good. All right, Tim, have a great weekend. Appreciate it.
You too.
All right, bye-bye. And the rest of you, we'll see you next week.
God bless you.
Take care.